Good evening, Mark Kennedy. Welcome aboard. I'm going to go ahead and have Mark go ahead and read the scripture. We're going to sing a couple hymns and a psalm, and then we'll unmute Mark Kennedy's mic.
Psalms 3, 1 through 6. Lord, how are the increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise against me. Many there be would say in my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 people that have set themselves against me round about.
Well, that's very comforting, and that's Psalm 3, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, the first song we're going to sing is out of the old school hymnal. We sing out of this old school hymnal. And the first song that we're going to sing is 358, Hark My Soul, It Is the Lord. Mark, you want to start that?
Hark My Soul, It Is the Lord. Tis thy Savior, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me. I deliver thee when bound, and when wounded, heal thy wound. Stop thee wandering, set thee right. Turn thy darkness into light. Can a woman's tender care cease more the child she bear? Yes, she may forgetful be, yet will I remember thee. By his unchanging love, higher than the heights above, deeper than the depths beneath, free and faithful, strong as death. Thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done. Partner of my thrill shall be, save for sinner lust thou be. Lord, it is my chief complaint, that my love is weak and faint. Yet I love thee and adore, oh, for grace to love thee more.
Okay, let's, this song I'm like, but then I lost it. Okay, well, let's just sing 314, Hail Sovereign Love. Hail Sovereign Love that first began the scheme to rescue Paul and man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, the bond of darkness more than light. Madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus eternal counsel ran, almighty lover of that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view, to silence fiery lens I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, this mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, as the Holy Spirit drew near. He led me on with gentle pace, to Jesus as my hiding place. So storms of thundering vengeance roll, and shake the earth its very soul. No flaming bolt shall light my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling sands and moans will land me safe on Canaan's coast. For I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place. Okay, we're going to sing a psalm out of the Psalter. page 95, Psalm 37b.
Rest in the Lord, wait patiently. Fret not for anyone who prospers in his wicked way. Completing schemes begun. Cease deem thou thy anger, sir. Make thou wrath an end. Fret not thyself for fretting when to evil doing tend. For evil doers sin shall be cut off no more to stand. Let those who wait upon the Lord inherit shall the land. For yet a little while, and then the wicked shall not be. His place as thou shalt there well, but him thou shalt not see. He shall humble of the land, inheritor shall be, and they shall then delight themselves in abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and grinds his teeth in wrath, because he sees his day will come, the Lord at him shall laugh. The wicked men have drawn their swords and bid their bows to slay, to cast the needy down, kill the men of upright way. But yet the sword which they have drawn shall enter their own heart. Their bones which they are bending shall in broken pieces part.
Well, let's see if we can just mention our guest, and then we'll go see if we can bring in Brother Mark to program on Talk Show and situated here. We want to welcome aboard MJ Abelos, Dr. Matthew Isaac, Gordon Cummings, J. Alexander Horn, Penny Below, and all the rest that I have yet see on Facebook. Got a good group that have joined us. I want to welcome Brother Mark Kennedy. Welcome aboard, Brother Mark.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
Very well.
I also see we have another guest on Facebook. I'm sorry, on TalkTube. And I'm not sure who that is. It's area code 318. Would that possibly be Robert? Carl Roberts.
Yes, sir. How are you, brothers and sister?
Yeah, I was almost calling you Roberts Carl. I don't know.
You can call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Okay, we won't do that. All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us as well, and we're discussing this book. And I must say that, you know, there's been some people that have not liked this book at all because of the title, just like they don't like a lot of things. I didn't write the book for a popularity contest. I wrote it because I think that the message needs to be out. I know it's, you know, a lot of people try to say, how can you call a book God Does Not Love Everyone when John 3:16 says he does? Well, John 3:16 doesn't say he does. Okay. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him. Doesn't say that God loved all the world, including those that didn't believe on him. Okay. And then the next question is, where does belief come from? And like Brother Carl said, like Brother Carl said the other night, in John 6:29, you know, this is the work of God that you believe on him. that all comes from he is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. So tonight we're ready for chapter 22, and Brother Mark has been helping me work through this book, and actually about 90% of the book is scripture. It really isn't my work. It's God's work, just revealed in a different format, I guess you could say. We make a few comments throughout the book, but the chapter 22 is entitled, Today I Must Abide at Thy House. And it's just really about four and a half pages. So I'm going to have Brother Mark, Brother Carl, I don't know if you have this in PDF format or not. If you don't, I can send it to you. That way you could follow along with us, and you could also help us read on Wednesday nights. That would be great. Do you have a PDF copy of this book?
I'll have to look and see. Let me check my Google Drive and see.
Okay. It's entitled, God Does Not Love Everyone, But He Does Love His Elect from Everlasting to Everlasting. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Brother Mark read a couple pages, and then I'll read a couple pages, and then all three of us can make comments about it after we've read the Brother Mark can start on 175, and if he would read down through the bottom of page 170. I'll just have you read down through the bottom of 177. How's that?
Okay, very good. All right. How we all doing? First, before I start, I want to say God bless the saints. Thank you for listening in tonight. And may God meet you at the point of your need, whatever that may be. Okay, chapter 22. Today I must abide at thy house. Okay, the account of Zacchaeus in the New Testament shows that the new birth is something that comes to all of those chosen before the foundation of the world and revealed to God's children. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. But in contrast, Jesus says what will happen to those who are his enemies and what their response to Christ and Christ's response to their response to him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And he beheld them and said, What is this? Then that is written, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself said in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then?
Well, thank you, Brother Mark. And I want to also give a shout out to Andrew Brown from Wichita, who's just joined us. Good evening, Brother Andrew Brown. Hope you and your family are doing well. You know, this chapter, I've often said over the years, I really like the account of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was probably not a very well-liked man because he was a tax collector. And, of course, if Zacchaeus was anything like some of the heads of IRS today, I can tell you that they're not very well-liked. Okay? But Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus Christ, and we know the story, how he went and climbed up in a sycamore tree. And the thing that is so amazing is that not only that he was rich, you know, another passage of scripture, Christ tells the disciples that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they go, who then can be saved? Remember what his answer was. With man, this is impossible. With God, all is impossible. Well, here, Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was also a publican. We see in another part of Scripture where it talks about that Jesus Christ was maligned for eating sinners. Were sitting down and eating with publicans and sinners. In fact, they even called Jesus Christ a wine bibber. So he must have partook with him, had a drink with him. And it says, and he sought to see Jesus. He was and could not for the press because he was little stature. You know, he all of these politically correct terms, you know. I remember when I was a licensed foster parents, I licensed a midget, but I didn't dare call her a midget, okay? She was a short-statured woman, okay? By the way, she was one of the best foster parents I ever licensed. She was really good with children, but she was only about, I think she was about 4'2", something like that. Anyway, it says that he was little of stature, and he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Well, of course, Jesus Christ knew he was going to be there before he even climbed up in the sycamore tree. And he said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I love this. For today I must. That's predestination. That's predestination. That's foreordination. I must abide at thy house. And, you know, Zacchaeus didn't have any choice in this matter. He didn't sign any decision cards, okay? He didn't go down to an altar. He didn't hear five verses of Almost Persuaded, okay? He came down. And it says, He received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. And all murmured, saying, you know, they started in again, saying, how can Jesus Christ be a guest with a sinner like Zacchaeus, okay? Well, I can tell you this. I'm glad that Jesus Christ was the guest of a sinner like Larry Phillips, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm glad he did not take my sins into consideration before he invited me into the household of faith. Okay? He said, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. Okay?
Amen.
And then he says, you see immediately that he had been given new life. We know what happened with Nicodemus in John 3, where Christ said, you must be born again. Okay? The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Okay? And so we see that there's also a flip side to this. Salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. And Jesus Christ said that the Son of Man has come to seek and save those which are lost. Have you ever thought about the fact that the reprobate are not lost? Because the reprobate will never be found. Okay? Only the sheep are lost. Okay? And anyway, Jesus says, what will happen to those who are his enemies? What's their response to Christ and Christ's response to their response to him? Well, he tells us, he says, those are my enemies who say, you know, you're not going to reign over them. Bring them hither and slay them before me. That's what's going to happen one of these days. We see in Psalm 2, it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, he says here, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall will grind him to powder. Well, they perceive that he's spoken about them. You know, people know when you have their number, okay? The Arminians know when you are not subscribing to their false doctrine of free will. Those who are promoting the wrong cosmology in the Bible know who you are. If you're promoting a biblical cosmology and they're promoting a false heliocentric model, you are marked. You're a marked person. Okay?
That's
what it says, and they watched him and sent him forth spies, which should feign themselves just men. I want to pause here while we're on the cosmology thing for a minute. Brother Carl Roberts has agreed next Thursday night, which I'm just looking at the calendar, that would be the 17th of February, and I think we said, did we say 5 o'clock Central Time, Carl? 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock your time? Or was it 6
o'clock? Yes, sir, that is correct. 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock East Clock Central. And by the way, I do have a copy of the PDF, and I have it pulled up right now on my Google Drive. But we did say 6 o'clock Eastern and 5 o'clock Central.
Good. Now, we're going to be discussing, if you look on Facebook Live right now, you're going to see I've got a little model there. We're going to be discussing, I picked this up, by the way, if there's a Dollar Tree around you, they have these little globes for a dollar, okay? And all you have to do is take a darning needle, and you can poke through that styrofoam globe and put a shoestring through there, and you can make that globe spin. And this is a great example of what they say our Earth is doing, spinning through space, 1,000 miles at the equator and 66,000 miles through space, and going into more detail on that, Brother Carl and I. And since we have him with the book up in front of him, I'm going to have him help me read this too. But we were there were talking about how that they watched him because they perceived that he told this parable about them. And these people today are on a watch. You know, it's almost like people are being scoped out. If they believe certain biblical doctrines, then just throw them out on their ear, throw them under the bus, excommunicate them, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, and then how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord, how is he then his son? Well, we are not only sons of the Almighty God, we are his children, we are his sheep, and he also calls us brethren. We are inseparably connected to our Lord. Now, I'm going to pause there and have Brother Mark make any comments that he has on 175 down through where he finished reading there. And then I'm going to, I think what I'm going to do is have Brother Carl read the remainder of the chapter after Mark finishes his comments. So, Carl, you'll be reading 178 down through 180. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Sure. I thought one thing was interesting in this story here is that one thing I found interesting is that Zacchaeus wasn't just a publican. He was the chief publican, and he was very wealthy financially. So those are some interesting details I found very interesting. And this man, Zacchaeus, was obviously a person of worldly authority, and Jesus didn't care about that. Jesus went there for spiritual reasons. And I'm sure that Jesus knew that this was going to give them fodder for gossiping. I'm sure that Jesus was very aware that that was going to be one of the results, but he didn't care about that.
Yeah.
He went to Zacchaeus to do what the Father commanded, hence the gospel, so he could be saved, unnumbered among the elect. And so even when nominal Christians see a real Christian, you know, like in this situation, they're going to murmur and gossip. And that shows right off the bat what side that they are on, that they are honoring the Lord with their lips, but their heart is far from them.
That's right.
That's my thoughts on that Zacchaeus situation. Very interesting.
Yeah, it really is. Before you begin reading for us, Carl, do you have any comments about that section?
Yes, sir. Verse 9, it says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. You know, the day of our salvation is appointed unto us. From before the foundation of the world, it was always appointed that on this particular day, Zacchaeus would jump up in this tree and try to get a glimpse of Christ. And this was a work carried out between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Triune Jehovah, from before the foundation of the world. And every single one of us believers, we have this day. And it said, you know, we're told in Psalms 110, we are made willing in the day of his power, and this is what we're seeing right here in verse 9, in this section.
Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and have Brother Carl finish out the reading of this chapter, beginning on actually the top of page 178 and then down through 180.
Jay, are you ready now?
Yes, go ahead.
Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets, and the high seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a shoe make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. God, down through history, beginning with Satan himself, has created principalities as well as men and women who have been vessels fitted for destruction. And the chief priests and scribes thought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. One of the most striking examples in the Bible is the thief being born again while hanging on the cross and Christ's response to him. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." So the one thief remained in his sins, while the other thief received an effectual call from Christ.
What an awesome story.
Thank you. Yeah, it is an awesome story. You know, I love how Christ responded to these Pharisees. He just basically exposed them for who they were. He said,
mm-hmm.
He said they liked to walk in long robes. They loved greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. And how many of us have seen that? I mean, you know, it's amazing. If you look at the religious world and mm-hmm. you look at the ecclesiastical authorities out there, the people that are in control, you know, mm-hmm. unfortunately, men exalt other men to offices where they want to be seen of men. And, you know, I remember when I was going to an Armenian Christian school at graduation time, how they paraded
yes.
all of the professors up, and they had certain stripes on them, you know. If they had two doctor's degrees, they had certain stripes. If they had one doctor's degree, they had a stripe. If they had a master's degree, they had a stripe. And it was nothing more than the exaltation
yeah.
of the creature, you know. And they had the long robes too. Okay. And they also had the chief rooms. They always set up all way up on the stage, up on the platform. And they also
yes.
made long prayers. Nothing has changed today. And
yeah.
people with have been to cemetery, I mean seminary. if you want to make sure that you want to make sure that you're dead, you have to go to a cemetery, okay? And that's another name, seminaries, okay? But anyway, God, through Jesus Christ, revealed exactly who these people were. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the very people that were held in high esteem, the chief priests, were the very ones that were seeking mm-hmm. to kill him. There's a lesson for
mm-hmm.
us. Look out. These people that have
yeah.
all this control and all this power and all this education and secular education and are
right.
in bed with the Jesuits and in bed with the Luciferian Jews and in bed with the science, so-called, okay, not
mm-hmm.
true science, they're the ones that want to kill us. They're the ones that want to do away with us. But you know what? Christ said if we're in Christ, we will suffer persecution. So that's kind of my thoughts on that section. I'm going to let Brother Mark make any comments, and then Carl can kind of finish up and make comments on that section. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Yes, Jesus did say that we will suffer persecution. He also said that the world hated him before it hated his disciples, so that we should not be surprised when that happens. And so Jesus lets us know, his followers, his true followers, he lets us know that this is going to happen. The world hates me, and it's going to hate you because it hated me first. So get ready, because it's coming.
Absolutely. Welcome aboard, Scott. Good to see you with us tonight. Mark, any comments on that, the end of that chapter? I'm sorry.
Yes, I'm just reminded again here with the two thieves being crucified alongside our blessed Savior. You know, we see election and predestination and salvation carried out by the triune Jehovah. And this was the day appointed for this thief to believe on Jesus Christ. It was the work of God that he believe on him who he had sent. And it's just, it's just so truly we have such a rest in Christ. And that's how we as believers, you know, we have such a rest in Christ because we know we have a blessed assurance of our faith that he has satisfied totally the wrath of the Father. God forsook his Son on the cross, and he will never forsake us because he looked away from him.
Amen. I love the account of the thief on the cross for a lot of different reasons. It was obvious that he was guilty. He even admitted the fact that they were both guilty of doing the crimes that they were hanging for. That's one thing. The other thing is, I've shared this on sermon audio before, but there was a guy that used to run a talk show program on the radio, and he was an adamant Church of Christ minister. And someone called up on the show and said, you know, you say that baptism saves you. What do you do with the thief on the cross? And I remember this Church of Christ minister saying, well, you don't know that the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. Now, the only reason I get that, listen, if you're trusting in anything other than, okay, Jesus Christ and him crucified and his work, the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, if you're trusting in your baptism and your church membership and your sacramentalism and your creeds and confessions and synods and sessions, listen. That's why I love the song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath. That's what Brother Carl was talking about. His oath. His oath. His covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before time began. Okay? His blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And you know, right after I became a Christian, I was still in the study zone, and I still am today, still study to show ourselves approved of workmen, rightly dividing the word of truth. And at that time, I was going to a Reformed Presbyterian church. I didn't know all these different doctrines. I was raised Arminian. But I heard a sermon on infant baptism, and I knew something wasn't right. And I started studying, and I found out that it was not biblical, okay? And I went to the minister, and I said, hey, you know what? How can you justify baptizing a child? You know, I mean, first of all, you're not – the parent can't save a child, okay? And he says, well, because the child can look back to his baptism, all this covenantal theology that's put out by that group. And I left the Reformed Presbyterian Church because of their false teaching on infant baptism. And, you know, they'll deny that they believe in baptismal regeneration. But if you read Calvin and the section on infant baptism, yeah, you'll get your boat loaded. He even calls it sacred water, okay? And so I just point that out, that, look, we are not trusting in sacramentalism. We're not trusting in the waters of baptism. We're not opposed to baptize. The Bible tells us to be baptized, but it's a sign and a seal of what Christ already did. Yeah. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Okay? Okay, mm-hmm. we're gonna move on to chapter 23 so we can get through this. And I was just looking here at chapter 23. You know, let's see, how many pages is chapter 23? Looks like it's a little longer chapter. That's because it's Yeah, I think we'll just hold off on chapter 23 and start in. Wait a minute. Yeah, let's just hold off and do 23 because we don't want to be rushed on this. This is My Sheep Hear My Voice, and oh wow, I love. John 10, John 6, John 17, John 8, John 14. I mean, this is good. It's all good stuff, but I'll tell you, this is solid meat. So let's just hold off on that.
Yes, it is.
Very good. I want to make some announcements before we sign off tonight. First of all, I want to thank Brother Mark for joining us again and helping out, and I appreciate it. Appreciate your faithfulness, brother. I appreciate Brother Carl being with us tonight. And by the way, I also want to thank Brother Carl for being on Talk Show Monday night and sharing. And I have been able to go through some of those letters, and I'm absolutely appalled at what happened with those ministers that were just literally thrown under the bus because they were trying to stand for the Word of God. It's unbelievable. Well, I guess it really isn't unbelievable, but it was kind of a shock. It was kind of a shock to me. But anyway.
Have you had a chance to watch that portion of that sermon that I sent you?
Haven't yet. Spent some time. He actually calls the guy out from the pulpit, I guess.
Yeah, he does, and he, you know, talks, and he actually, you know, tells a few yarns there, and I mean, it's just plain as day, and but you know, the good Lord has used all this to bring me into fellowship with you and Brother Mark and your family, Brother Larry and Brother Ed, and you know, He uses, you know, truly. I mean, because you know, this isn't about me and this isn't about us. This is about the glory of Jesus Christ. It's about the glory of God.
Yes,
and He absolutely, you know, it is.
Yeah, you know, the amazing thing to me about this whole subject is the reality that people want to separate the Creator and creation from redemption. And you can't separate, you cannot pick and parcel out the Word of God. You know, and when people start trying to do that, I like what Brother Ed says. He quotes that scripture that says, if I show you earthly things and you don't believe, how can I show you heavenly things? Anything, in other words. If I show you earthly things and the earth's creation and the glories of God's creation and so on, and you don't believe that, how are you going to believe anything, you know. And so I think that's paramount. Well, listen, thank you for sharing Monday night. And I thought the program was very succinct and went well. Now, we also are planning on being on Sunday morning for our Sunday morning service and Sunday evening. And Brother Mark will be with us for both of those services. And then next Monday night, I haven't resolved. I haven't talked to Brother Ed since the Monday night program as to what our next topic. I'll make sure I'll let you guys know in advance what that is going to be. I have something that I mentioned is in my mind, but I haven't really had a chance to talk to Brother Ed. I did get a request from one of our listeners for a topic. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm not going to get into it tonight. I know where Ed stands on the particular topic. You know, it's kind of like Brother Carl was saying, is our goal should be to exalt Jesus Christ in all that we say and do, and we should have his glory at the forefront motivation as to what we're doing. And so that's kind of where I'm at in that whole thing. Well, I want to thank, again, all the guests on Facebook Live, and we've had about four or five more people join us in the last 2 minutes. Glenda Busby Trotter, Anil Victor John, Daniel, Jim Kohler. Bless all of you all. And just in a nutshell, our theme is that the foundation of God stands as sure. He knows who he is. Okay? And also, amen. Ephesians 1 says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And he also says that of his own will he begat us to be the first, the kind of first fruits. That's in James. He talks about in Romans that the children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, while yet in their mother's womb, okay, Rebecca's womb, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he says,
yep,
that he did this. Why was Pharaoh raised up? That his glory, Christ's glory, could be revealed throughout the whole world, to the whole earth. And so it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God showeth mercy. So that's the theme that we want to resoundingly proclaim. Are there any final comments by Brother Mark or Brother Carl before I close out?
We give all glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, it's such a secure rest that we have in him, and just knowing that our salvation is the work of the Lord from start to finish is such a relief and such a blessed hope to us, because if it was up to us in any way, we would mess it up. We would mess it up. And we're just so blessed to know that it is his work from start to finish. And I always like to close with this, with this quote that I learned recently from Martin Luther, and it's peace if possible and truth at all costs. And God bless everybody that was listening tonight.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Amen. Carl. Amen.
And, you know, I will be the first to admit that if anybody ever messes anything up, it's yours truly right here. If I ever get in the flesh, it's going to be messed up. And I've gotten in the flesh many times. I'm not proud of it, but it's a reality of it. We're But, you know, the great thing about it is Jesus Christ is a forgiving Savior, and he's already paid for all of our sins. Okay, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, oh, Larry, you're antinomian. You're lawless. No, no, I'm not. And he will cause us to grieve over our sin. He will bring us to a point of that, and he will chasten us when we do sin. But he is, we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Abba, Father, to him. And he did not give us temporary life. He gave us eternal life. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and we'll, all of you that can join us on Sunday, I also noticed we had two other guests join us on Talk Show as well. You all have a good night. And we'll see and talk to you soon. God bless.
God bless. Good night.